All right, our first speaker today is Scott Anderson. Mr. Anderson is the math, and I remembered Mr. Anderson, the math and engineering, high school math and engineering teacher at the Judah School in Judah, Wisconsin. He was an engineer as well for 12 years, and he strives for lessons that are centered on problem solving and persistence rather than on standards. And he's going to tell the story of the Judah School's renewable energy goal and the school's renewable energy and energy efficiency transformation.
Ready? Is my mic on? Oh, it is. All right. Yes, I'm ready.
It is on.
It is on. Here we go.
Set?
Yep. So what can one small community with one very small rural school do? And the answer is a lot. The assignment was to pick a project that made their school, their community, and our world a better place. And no reports, real actions. I'm the math teacher, no reports. Students selected reducing our carbon footprint. But action simply did not happen. Change is hard, and students are used to playing school. But with some pushing for updates and living with my motto, be less helpful, we started to get action. They dug in, they read, they researched, they made a path. But real-world partnerships are required for real-world actions. Suppliers, experts in the field, people like you all. And in 2012, we got our first of many partners, Ryan Harkins with Synergy Renewable in the Madison area. He worked with students on site assessments, budgets, quotes, took the time to be a mentor. Now the students had a plan, a 5-kilowatt solar system, and we worked on generating community support. All of this passed through two classes year to year. The first students handed off to the next, and we had it. Focus on energy grants, community support, and that allowed the school board to support it. And we installed, and it was awesome, guys. But the 5-kilowatt array you see was not the end goal. We wanted all students to have a green journey. So the 2014 class articulated our goal. 10% of our energy on the school site would be generated greenly. And this was one of the main pillars of our Samsung South for Tomorrow grant. And we want to tell everyone what we were doing and that they can do this too. And you guys can help with that at schools. Now students are working at increasing our solar capacity and doing energy efficiency to reduce our usage. All projects towards a 10% goal. Now a culture of doing has been set. Every year, students complete the last year's projects and brainstorm and pick their own. In 2014, we added 2.5 more kilowatts on our 5-kilowatt system. Thanks again to Focus on Energy. Students presented at the Wisconsin School Board Association about what we're doing, begging other schools to make their own projects. Students installed LED lights in the classrooms as experiments, replacing fluorescents. We started light level projects in the hallways. We bought 3M door kits for windows and doors in our school. And then we had a big moment in 2017. We had a referendum project that allowed us to replace half the fluorescents in our school. And we worked with Findorf on that. And we worked with Focus on Energy to write the grant with the students for the rebate. That was $11,000 to the general fund at our school, Judah. It nearly covered the initial cost of the 5-kilowatt system. I want to thank Sir Rob at Focus for his help on that. We partnered with UW-Madison, University City, on energy efficiency and green projects. College students working with my high school students. It was a great project. And then we had a big break. We partnered with Upper 90, energy efficiency experts. Projects we'd only dreamt about, we were able to start thinking about. And then we kind of won the big fish. We won the PSC Energy Innovation Grant, $250,000. But big thanks to Mario, Ben, Adam, and the gang at Upper 90 that helped us write it. Remaining fluorescent are all gone. It's all LED. We re-insulated the school, like on the slides. Low cost, high return, building an envelope. Every school should be doing this. We did HVAC optimization. And again, students working along, project managing this. And a big thanks to Solar for Good because we were able to put up another 5-kilowatt system. And those are my students helping with the installation. And this year, we continued last year's work. We reviewed the new light levels because it's all LEDs in the hallway. We've been pulling bulbs and removing fixtures. My students have pulled out 2,000 watts out of the hallway this year, and they're already brainstorming about what to do next. Lastly, I want you, I challenge you, when you see a school in your neighborhood without solar, I want you to reach out and do something. Find students or staff or a green team, and remember to be persistent and committed. I'm overworked. Teachers are overworked. We need your support. Offer your expertise. Be a mentor. Let's make every student a great steward. Ooh, with that.
All right. Thank you, Scott. Our second speaker, is Nancy Vetter-Schultz. Nancy is a co-founder of the Climate Justice Action Team at First Unitarian Society here in Madison and a TAT sponsor for the First Unitarian Society's solar array. And she is also a lecturer of women's studies here at UW-Madison as well.
Formerly.
Still counts. she will be talking about First Unitarian Society's solar project, First Unitarian Society's project to get a solar array on an original Frank Lloyd Wright building.
Gotta see. Okay, so I'm ready now. I touch this, huh? Thanks, Sam, for that lovely introduction. As Sam told you, I'm here as a founding member of the Climate Justice Action Team at First Unitarian Society to tell you the inspiring story of our solar array. Since its inception, First Unitarian has considered itself green. But the definition of that term has changed over the years. Our meeting house was built 70 years ago by Frank Lloyd Wright, considered by many the father of green architecture. Wright wanted his buildings to harmonize with their surroundings like ours does, and he used the forms and colors of nature as his design touchstones. But he also uses large expanses of single pane glass to blur the boundary between indoors and outdoors, which is certainly not our understanding of green today. As one of Wright's best known designs, the original meeting house was named a National Historic Landmark. Being the stewards of this treasure, we've been careful to preserve it and to avoid incompatible uses. Given that history and that beauty, we made national news 12 years ago when we expanded in a way that would both protect the green aesthetics of the Wright building and move us towards a green sustainability. We are proud of how gorgeous our new building is and how green it is as well. This new addition, with a geothermal HVAC system and a green roof, received a gold level LEED certification. The green roof looks red in this slide because it's fall. But despite an interest in solar at the time, we weren't able to generate the needed funds. The addition, therefore, left us with hefty utility bills and, given the source of electricity in Madison, large greenhouse gas emissions. So, of course, discussions about renewables and efficiency continued. Our capital campaign in 2017 proposed $70,000 for solar arrays. We didn't meet that goal, but much worse, replacing Wright's expensive copper roof had to come first, so that left us only $35,000 for solar. 2 years ago, we started a sustainability ministry team and took these additional steps towards becoming green and finally solicited 4 solar proposals. We went with the most ambitious, an 83-kilowatt system from Full Spectrum Solar. The panels were placed on roofs that are not a part of the original Frank Lloyd Wright structure. The cost was much higher than what our capital campaign had proposed. But fortunately, we received grants from Renew Wisconsin. Thank you, Renew. Focus on Energy. Thank you, Focus on Energy. And finally, finance the rest through the Legacy Solar Co-op. Thank you, Legacy Solar. So last October, we finally cut the ribbon on our long-sought solar system, and the system was commissioned the next month. On the next slide, you will see on the left some of the panels over the entrance to our new addition, and on the right, on a flat roof over some of our classrooms. It's too early to predict annual production numbers with any certainty, but in the first month, we generated 3,500 kilowatts, which implies about 95,000 kilowatts for the year, slightly better than what the full spectrum had estimated. As this project proceeded, we hired HGA architects and engineers to help us reduce electrical consumption, especially the energy our geothermal pumps were using. Improving HVAC efficiency will have roughly the same effect as our solar project. So together, the two will reduce our conventional electrical consumption and related emissions by about half. So we're excited about how green we're becoming in both senses of the word. And we want to help others to do the same. So we've started a project called Array It Forward, an effort to inspire other nonprofits, provide advice, and possibly even seed money. So please send me an email or talk to me or the other two people who have these Aqua name tags that say Array It Forward. We want your nonprofit to lower its carbon footprint while saving money at the same time, just like we did. Thank you. Thank you.
Okay, our final speaker today, our final storyteller, is Antonio Butts. Mr. Butts is the Executive Director of Walnut Way Conservation Corps in Milwaukee. Antonio's career has been marked by his collaborative leadership style and creating social enterprises for economic and social impact. And he's going to be talking about how Walnut Way and a small group of Northside residents have transformed their neighborhood through renewables, urban agriculture, and civic engagement. Ah.
So thank you. Good morning, everyone. I'm Antonio Buss, Executive Director of Walnut Way Conservation Corporation. And Walnut Way is a resident-led neighborhood organization about 2 miles from the heart of downtown Milwaukee. This is where our Walnut Way Center is today, and you'll see how we've transformed this space over the last 20 years. This year marks our 20th anniversary as an organization. We became official in the year 2000. Our story is really grounded, or our why is grounded in blacks in the Great Migration after slavery and during Reconstruction, seeking, you know, gainful employment, economic prosperity, and escaping, you know, the legacy of slavery overall. Folks came to Wisconsin and other Midwestern states to have some sense of freedom and, again, this opportunity for prosperity. But upon arrival, there was some social cohesion and opportunity for some real community building, but still discrimination existed and redlining and so on and so forth that excluded blacks from being able to really participate in the economic engine that existed. And then also during that time, it was sort of at the tail end of the Industrial Revolution. So as we saw deindustrialization and the decline of manufacturing, which you had our communities that were completely gutted and had no economic engine for it to sustain a quality of life or some real sense of well-being. And so that's what our why is as an organization and why we exist. It's a call, it's a response to the disinvestment that has taken place over the last 40 or more years. And so this is a picture of the house in the early days of the organization when we were first getting started. So you see it was an abandoned foreclosure, and a lot of properties in the city look this way. but a group of neighbors came together who remembered why the Great Migration took place. And so they wanted to make a difference. It was about remembering the why. Why were we here? Why did we come here? And so this effort to build a sense of community and build social cohesion was reborn in the area. And so neighbors came together, and the first major initiative was the acquisition of this house. And so the Walnut Way Center and the vision for it was born. Neighbors came together. They brought their different gifts and talents together to basically restore the house and turn it into what we know it is today as the Walnut Way Center, where residents come and use it as a convening location. And other partners and organizations from across the city, we do a lot of work, and a lot of things have been accomplished in this space. The heart of our work as a conservation organization in our early days has really been about reclaiming vacant lots and creating spaces for community building in the neighborhood. And so our early roots, you know, we planted 1,000 tulips on our first vacant lot. Today we have over 16 orchards in our neighborhood and a number of urban ag lots just in general. And so as time has been proceeding, we've been gaining a lot of different skill and capacity in trying to figure out how to keep the sustainability of the organization alive. And so one of the things that we were able to do as a natural extension of the organization was start a landscaping operation. And so it is a social enterprise, and year over year over the last 4 years, we've done about $2 million in business. Most of our business is aligned with the municipalities, the Milwaukee Metropolitan Sewage District, the City of Milwaukee, and their long-term goals associated with climate change and stormwater management. That picture there is the lot adjacent to the property. We have a peach orchard in that lot. So our skills and talents in the design and installation of different stormwater management construction techniques has offered a lot of opportunities for us to create job training and employment opportunities for folks in the neighborhood who have barriers to employment. As you can see our work, we've gained a lot of skill in this space. We continue to build our capacity in this space, and training and development is a key part of who we are as a conservation organization. We have a number of projects that took place last year because of the support from Renew Wisconsin and Solar for Good, where we did a number of green infrastructure and solar projects on a number of sites within probably about a 1 square mile radius in the neighborhood. And so in partnership with Arc Electric, who allowed us to have a couple of our residents actually do a job shadowing and job training opportunity, we installed solar on the Walnut Way Center. We had a celebration of ribbon cutting for solar we installed on our largest open-air farmers market in the city. And we also installed solar at a local garden or a farm in the neighborhood where there was no irrigation. And the solar that we installed powers the irrigation pump so that the farmers can basically irrigate their plots. So that's a snapshot of the overlook. And so what we're looking to do now is we're looking to extend our system, add battery storage to our system, and then also continue to expose the community in general to this opportunity around solar and the possibilities as it relates to workforce opportunities and the overall resilience of the community. We see it as a key strategy for the long-term sustainability of the organization as well. As we know, in these communities, a lot of folks don't have the wherewithal financially, but as an organization, we can absorb the finance and resource and distribute it in a way that allows the community to take part in this revolution that we call clean energy.